Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof. And what we understood yesterday, we've been trying to figure out exactly what the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Reb Eliezer, because it's very unclear, since both Reb Eliezer and the Tanakhama contradict themselves about the middle area, meaning Bistam. So either the Stam, I mean, you can't say both extremes and then have them contradict each other. You can't say it's only kosher if you went ahead and made it for Schach. And you can't say at the same time it's only Posel if you went ahead and made it for Shchiva. So that what we attempted to do was to explain away that contradiction by saying it's referring to two different cases. And that one case is referring to a very large machatzelet, which is normally not used for sleeping. Normally it's used for covering a sukkah. And if we say, even so, if you had in mind to make it for shchiva, it will be makabel tuma. And then we switch and we say, but if it's small, so then the opposite is true. If it's small, normally it's made for shchiva. And then you'd have to make it specifically for the Sichuch to be usable, a bunch of them to be usable for Schach. Problem is that that didn't stand up, if you recall, because in Reb Eliezer, it says exactly the same contradiction. And in Reb Eliezer, he said, Beferish, it doesn't matter whether it's big or small. It comes to say the same lashon. So you can't use that as your solution because it's not going to hold at Reb Eliezer. So therefore, what we came out was to say that Reb Eliezer was coming to tell me that even if it was small, it's always assumed to be made for Sichuch unless you say differently. That was the approach that we came out, and that he didn't really mean to say two different cases. He meant to say if it was made for the Tuma, fine. But if it was not, then Stam it would be kosher, and then it would be L'sichuch. That was the way that we tried to shoehorn Reb Eliezer into the Mishnah. The problem is that it doesn't work, as Abaye points out today. And we're up to Omer Le'Abaye, one quarter of the way down. So Omer Le'Abaye, Abaye says, that doesn't make any sense. Because then what Reb Eliezer should have said was, Achat gedola v'achat kitana. Because normally when you say something where you're trying to include the less obvious thing, so what you would say, this is how Rashi understands it, what you would say is, look, I mean, for instance, it says the only time that you would actually blow a shofar on Shabbos would be in Yavne. So then the Mishnah, no, whether it's Yavne or whether it's anywhere else. Okay, so in other words, the given case comes first, and then the cases that you're trying to say are no different than the given case come afterwards. So therefore, if what you're saying is true, that according to Reb Eliezer, we're going to be Mekel, and we're saying, I don't care, even if it's a small one, it's the same as a big one, and unless it was made specifically for purposes of sleeping, then it would be okay. Then what should Reb Eliezer say? Nah, whether it's big or whether it's small, right? Not whether it's small or whether it's big. But that's not what Reb Eliezer says. Reb Eliezer says whether it's small or whether it's big. So Iachi asks Abaye, then how could the Mishnah say? Now, the problem is that there's two different Gersaot to the Mishnah, because there's two different Gersaot to the Gemara, and it seems to be a question about what would normally come first, and this goes into like a lot of different Mishnahs all over, where it's clear that we definitely do it the way Rashi says in many of the cases. So we'll just take Rashi's approach, and therefore say Iachi, if that's the approach, then how could it say in the Mishnah, Reb Eliezer omer achat ketana ve'achat gedola, what it should have said is, whether it's big or whether it's small, it doesn't matter. It's always assumed, because it's so uncomfortable, it's always assumed to have been made for purposes of sichuch. And only if you went out of your way and you specified that you're going to be sitting down on it, then it would be makabel tuma, it would be possible for sichuch. That's my first problem. My second problem, says Abaye, is that you're totally wrong anyway. Forget about the language. I'll bring you, and now we finally are going to get close to the sugya we spoke about earlier. I'll bring you a raya that, if anything, it's the opposite direction. They're not arguing about the ketana. They're actually arguing about the gedola. And Rabbi Eliezer is going l'chumra, and he is saying even a gedola is considered to be for shchiva and is mekabel tuma. Precisely the opposite of what you said. Okay, here's where I show you that you're wrong. D'tanya, machatzelet hakanim bigdola. Look at this. If it's a big one, the Tanakhama says, okay, then you can use it. Rabbi Eliezer says, now wait a minute, it's not so simple. You could only use it imena mekabela tuma misachachimba. What is that? That means that minastam, you can't use it. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying, look, it's possible you could use it, but only if you specified that it's being made for purposes of sichuch. Okay, so then whatever you said is backwards, because you were saying Rabbi Eliezer was mekel even on the ketana, and here we see Rabbi Eliezer is machmir even on the gedola. So therefore, forget it. If you want to say a pshat, it has to be the opposite direction. You say it's like this. You could say, El Omer of Papa, look, just the opposite. Biktana kuleyamalo pligidistoma l'shchiva. Actually, the Tanakhama is also moda that if it's a small mat, then it is meant for sitting on. If it's a very large mat, so then the Tanakhama holds, if it's big like that, it was probably made for covering over a ceiling, in which case it's fine for sichuch. And Rebbe Eliezer Sofar, even a stam gedola is meant for shchiva. And therefore, the way to understand the Mishnah is the exact opposite of what you said. That when it says, asa'ala shchiva, what it means is not only if you made it for shchiva. It's saying, for all intents and purposes, it's always as if asa'ala shchiva, meaning that stam asiyato is always l'shchiva, unless it was specifically made l'sichuch. That's the approach. Now, we finally get to the sugya that we actually had explored earlier, and that is a machatzelet. We had this braita that a machatzelet shel shifa v'shel gemi. So these are like soft kind of plants that grow near water, and those are much softer than the machatzelet hakanim that we spoke about, which is really hard. I mean, it's a cane, bamboo. That's very uncomfortable. So now the shaila is like that. These types of machatzalot are much softer than the other machatzalot. So therefore, it says over here that if they're small, then you can't use it. If they're large, so why would somebody make such a big one? So if it's gedola misachachimba, kitana ein misachachimba. Now, how about if it's made out of kanim, which is much harder material, or chilat, which is a similar kind of plant that's very also harsh and hard? So then it depends. Now, this is a bit confusing, this Gemara, because the next word, even though it looks like it's saying gidola misachachinba, that's not what it's saying. It's saying gidula misachachinba, aruga in misachachinba. So now introducing another element, not gedola ketana, not the material, but rather the mode of manufacture. Now you can see that this is getting to be a bit complex, because now we've got three interrelating elements: the material, the size, the question of how was it manufactured, which we'll discuss in a moment, and then, of course, the final element, the intent. And then the question is, how do those four issues interrelate? And that can get very complicated among the poskim halacha lemaisa, as you can well imagine. So what it's saying is, if you're talking about something that is made out of a hard material, there's two ways of making it. One way of making it is that it's gidula, not gidola. Gidula means like gidil, gidilim ta'aselecha. So gidilim means twisted threads. So over here it would mean, it depends how it is that we got it to hold together. So the normal, simple way, they're really very, very hard kind of thing. So what they would do is they wouldn't really attempt to do an actual weave. We have to go in and out with the chassis and the Erev. They would twist them together. And that creates an extremely uncomfortable surface. And because of that, we can assume that you can use it for the sukkah, because who would want to lie down on this? So, okay, there's a machlokas over here about whether we're talking about a ketana, which is gedula, which is apparently the way that Rashi understands it. So then we're talking about even a stam ketana, if it's gedula, so then it's too uncomfortable, and you can use it for your sukkah. But if it's aruga, if you've actually woven it, so then you cannot be mesachich with it. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi quotes Rabbi Yossi, his father, he says it doesn't matter. Even if you made it into a real woven kind of mat, it's too thick and uncomfortable, and it's not meant for sitting on, and you can be mesachich with it. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Tanakama in terms of the simple things, the shifa and the gemi, which are relatively soft. What he's saying is that when it comes to the shaila of the kanim, which is very hard, or chilas, which is very hard as well, so over there, even if you made it in the softest possible fashion, so then the halacha would be that you could be mesachich with it. V'chein haya Rabbi Dosa omer kedvara. Rabbi Dosa held the same thing. So that would mean that in the Mishnah, where we have the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakam, and it says over there that if you have small ones, over there it says the ketana, we came out means, the way we just explained it with Rav Papa, is that it's pasul for schach, so that has to be referring to dafka if it's aruga, because we're talking about kanim. So if it's aruga, there it could go like the sheet over here of the Tanakama, not like Rabbi Yossi, but it could go like the sheet of the Tanakama, that in that case it would be kosher. But according to Rabbi Yossi, here, Ben or Rabbi Dosa, nobody holds that. And therefore, both approaches that we took to the Mishnah don't make any sense, because there never is a machatzela takanim that would be kosher, even if it was aruga, that would be kosher stam. I mean, it could make it kosher by manufacturing it for a sukkah, obviously, but that would be kosher stam, which is the way we ended up with the Mishnah, doesn't make sense. Now, in Masechet Idyot, we have this Mishnah. Kol ha-chotzalot. Now, chotzalot sounds like machzalot, which are basically what we've been talking about. We're going to see what chotzalot are in a moment. We're assuming right now that it's the same thing. And it says over here that any chotzalot is metame tumas meis. So says Rabbi Daisa. So if it's metame tumas meis, that means it's considered to be a kli. And he says specifically tumas meis. Whereas the Chachomim say it's metame tumas midras, because it's usable for sleeping on, but it is not a kli in terms of Kabbalah's tumah. Now remember, when we say tumas meis, it's a little bit confusing. The only reason we talk about tumas meis as opposed to other tumas, what's nafkamina? If it's tumas meis, tumas nevelas, as long as it's an ava tumah, the moment that you say tumas meis, you're also saying that it's a kli and it will be makabel tumah from a sheretz also. I mean, there's no need to say tumas meis. The reason that we say tumas meis is because, remember the whole discussion that we had in Masechet Kelim, we would always contrast midras with meis. Why? Because those are the only two ways that a kli could become an avatum, not just tumah. It'll be makabel tumah from an avatum, from any avatum. But when you talk about a kli becoming tumas midras, it means that the kli itself is matame adam, remember? So that if a matame mishkav u'moshav, it lies down on it, and then a tar person comes into contact with it, it will be matame him. So the only other case that we have like that is by tumas meis, where we also have many cases like that, where it's possible to make the kli into an avatuma. And therefore, we contrast tumas meis with midras. But the bottom line is that the moment that you say tumas meis, you're basically calling this a kli vis-a-vis kabbalas tumah. Therefore, the Gemara asks, when it comes to the Chachamim who say midras, now, do they really mean to say it's not a kli, and it won't be makabel tumas meis, and it will only be makabel tumas midras, because the only way that you can see it as kabbalas tumah is because the Torah added the word, the kol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav. So that includes even things that are not kelim. But maybe ein achinami, it will only be makabel tumas midras, it won't even be makabel tumah at all from a meis. So is that what you meant? Midras dafke in, but tumas meis not? But don't we have a Mishnah that says, Anantanan, kol hamitame midras, mitame tamimes? That by definition, once we've been including something in the set of tumas, being makabel tuma, then it can't be makabel only one kind of tuma. So once it's considered to be shayach to tuma from midras, then it should be shayach to tuma of any kind. So why do we say dafka midras? So the truth is that the Rambam learns that this halacha is a drabbana, because there really are two completely different sets of Kabbalah's tuma in terms of kalim, which is part of the overall set of dine kalim, and then there's a whole separate set of betame mishkav u'mosha. So that therefore this gemara is a little bit problematic, because I mean, the gemara could have said it's only betame midras midiraisa. Okay, but in any event, since the Mishnah says that nowhere do we find that we're going to be mechalek halacha l'maisa between something that would be mekabel tumas midras and something that would be mekabel tumas meis, which of course would include any of the other tumas, so therefore, how would you say dafka midras? No, what it means is af midras. They're saying that it's also meant for lying on. And what is the meaning of the word chotzalot? Omer avavdimi bar hamduri. These are marzovle. Oh, that's a great help. I know exactly what marzovle mean. I mean, you could have talked to me in Greek also, you know. And what exactly are marzovle? I mean, can we like get down to a word that I know? Omer Ababi, they're mizable. So anyway, we did have this dinim of mizable, which are those little pillow-like, these bags that the ro'im use. And they'll fill it up with their stuff, you know, sandwiches or whatever. And then at night, they'll use it as a pillow. So over there, since they will also lie their heads down on them, so because of that, the Chachomim hold that they're mekabel tumas midras. Reb Dosa holds that you only go according to the ikar usage of a thing. And this is not meant for lying on. Because of that, we don't even want to supply them with pillows. That's something the acronym had is very cute. We don't want to supply them with pillows because then basically they're going to be lying down and taking rests instead of keeping their eyes on the sheep. That's called lying down on the job. So because of that, they're not meant really for putting your head down on. Reish Lakish says, No. Chotzalot are normal machatzalot. It's another word for machatzelet, in which case it isn't clear what the machlokas is between Reb Dosa and the Chachom, which we'll have to work out. If you say it's mizable, I understand. If you say they're machatzalot, I mean, so then which machatzalot are we talking about? Now, this is Reish Lakish l'shitato. When he holds that we're talking about machatzalot, Reish Lakish says, Hareni kaparat Rabbi Chiya ubanav. Shebitchila kishenishtakcha Torah miYisrael, Ola Ezra miBavel viYizda. So originally, remember that when Nebuchadnezzar took away the charash and the mazger, he took away the Talmidei Chachamim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had them sent to Bavel to provide for Limud HaTorah and a background for whatever would be coming in terms of the Golos of Bavel, which would not have been survivable if there had not been an extensive network of yeshivas and places to establish the Dinei HaTorah, because it was such a shock that basically it would have been like coming into America out of Europe. You know, nobody would know what to do. It's like a new world. Forget it. This was a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megarished in earlier, the Charash and Mazger. And then, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, there was nothing left of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, which had been devastated and devoid of anyone we had for those 52 years. So when Ezra came specifically back from Bavel, he was Miyase Torah again, and thereby he was able to bring back the yeshivas to Eretz Yisrael and to be Magzir Torah. Then, when it was Chazra, Venishtakcha from Rov of the Tzarais, so then we find that Hillel HaBavli came up, and that was the story that we found where people had forgotten what the din is, and then Hillel was making fun of them, that why are you being, you weren't learning specifically enough. So Ola Hillel HaBavli, remember, they made him the Nasi, and he was Miyase Terah all over again. These were the story about B'nai B'Seira, and B'nai B'Seira gave up on their Nasius, and they gave it over to Hillel. And then, when it was Chazar V'nishtakha, Ola Rabbi Chia U'banav Yizdua. So then, Rabbi Chia came up, and he was once again Miyase the Torah. How was he Miyase the Torah? He was Miyase, basically, this halacha. And he said, V'chein amar Rabbi Chia U'banav lo nechlaku Rabbi Doze v'chachomim al machatzalot shal Usha. I just want to point out one amazing thing from here, that this is Rav Tzadok HaKohen points out in one of his forum, that this is similar to the idea that Kol, it's actually Nogea, the parshas that we're reading now, is Shomer Lecha, Shmor Nafshecha, Me'oi, Petishkachas, Hadvorim, so that even somebody who Shocheach Dover Echad Mitalmudai, the Lashon of the Marshal, is that's the same as a Shikhov Kol HaTorah Kula. So as we've explained it, it means that since the Torah is an entirely contextual, interrelated whole, you can't change anything without losing it across the entire hologram. And if that's the case, then if the Gemara uses the language over here, which is very strange, as the Rishonim talk about, I mean, Rabbi Chia, what does it mean that Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia actually says, Ana garamte shelo tishtakach Torah mi Yisrael. I mean, apparently there was like serious issues going on, where he went from town to town and he found kids, remember, and he would teach six kids, he'd teach each kid one of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, and then he would tell them that they should teach the other five. Anyway, but I mean, to say that he was Gerim, that Lotish Takach, is very weird because, I mean, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was there and he was writing the Mishnah and he had all of the Sanhedrin with him and the Beis Din. I mean, what's a check to say that if he came and he was Miyase Terah B'Yisrael? So again, they want to say that it means this one halacha, because of one halacha that could have been forgotten, just same thing that happened with the B'nai B'Seira, about what's the din of a Korban Pesach and Erev Shabbos. Anyway, basically, my father, Zatzal, always spoke about the way that Rebbe said, Kama gedele ma'ase Chia. Look how incredible what Chia did. My Talmud Chia, referring to Rebbe Chia, in this bringing back the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So he would always ask, you know, so if Rebbe held that this is what should be done, so then why didn't he go around doing what Rebbe Chia was doing, go around from town to town and teach the kids and see to it shelo tishtakach Torah miYisrael, right? I mean, this is the Kama Gedolah Ma'ase Chia. So he always put it very succinctly. He was busy making Chias. It's true, Kama Gedolah Ma'ase Chia. In any event, what it was that Rabbi Chia came, but it's pretty clear from the Ana Garamta Shlotish Takach Torah that it's talking about all Shisha Sidorim, not this particular halacha the way that some of the Rishonim say. But okay, this is definitely what is brought by a number of the Rishonim. Anyway, how does he understand now the Machlokas of Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim if Reish Lakish is talking about Machatzalot? So we already had the Mishnah. So what's going on? So he said, Lo nechleku Rabbi Doseh v'chachomim al machatzalot shel Usha. Look, the mats that they use in Usha, those were used all the time for sitting down on. They would bring them into the Beis HaMedrash, put them out into the fields. Those were what you sat on. And those are for sure shayach to Tumas Midras. Furthermore, the kind of mats that they use in Tveria, shel Tveria, are definitely Tohorot. Rashi says that's because they were made of the very hard materials. So again, the material issue is the question over here. Amar nechleku, where the machlokas was al shar mikomot. Other places that they were not made out of hard material, but they were not used normally for lying on. So Rabbi Dosa holds, look, since it's not its most chashuva use, the leka de yosef alayu, you can't say that they're meant for sitting on them, so then we treat them like Tveria, and they're actually not going to be Matami Tumas Midras. Now, this is very interesting, because the Ramah brings Lahalacha, and I don't know why, but for some reason, everybody is like stymied by the Ramah, like, why does he bring in this issue? The Ramah brings in the issue of Machatzalot, that if you were miyachid them for yeshiva, and he throws in the words to into the Shulchan Aruch, that this would have to be in a mokum where the minhag is that people would sit on. So apparently that's how he's learning from this Gemara, that it's called leka. Nobody sits on them. So because of that, they are not shaykh to be makabo. To me, it's mash, but he's trying to say literally batla daitai, that if people won't sit on it, then you can't even be miyachid at yeshiva, because it's still going to be an amod v'nase malachtenu. Remember the yisod of Hilchas Midras, is that if somebody can tell you, will you please get up, I need this for what it's meant to be used for, and not for you to sit on. So then it's never going to be makabel tuma. That's the simple mashmas. I mean, they tried to use the Ramah to mean unless you were miyachid, it doesn't mean batla daitai. But anyway, that's the mashmas of the sugya over here. Whereas the Chachamim say, look, people will sit on them from time to time. So kevan de mikre v'yati v'alayu. So memela, they're also, it's not going to be minastam, but they are similar to Usha. And therefore, they're shayach at least to Tumas Midras. And that is the case that Rabbi Dos and the Chachamim are arguing on, not about these mezable of the Royim, but about the normal machatzalot that we were talking about. In which case, we now have five different elements that we need to consider. We need to consider the material. We need to consider the size. We need to consider the minhag. Oh my gosh. We need to consider the modality of manufacture. And we need to consider the intent and the interrelationship between all of those things is going to define the nature of the Kabbalah's Tuma of a Machatzalot. As you can see, you don't want to just go out and buy a mat to use for your sukkah. So you better be absolutely clear that it's got a good heksher on it, and someone made certain that the manufacturer was specifically for purposes of sichuch, and it was stated that it's not used for sitting on. Anyway.
My sukkah has a mat finish.
That was pretty weak. I can't believe you spent the entire past 20 minutes and that's all you could come up with.
About 3 seconds.
Via Tanya. But what about the Braita? We just had the Braita on Amud Aleph that Kein Haya Rabbi Dosa Omer Kidvarav. So in other words, Rabbi Dosa, Dafka said Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi himself was right, that it doesn't matter whether, if we're talking about soft material, so he was talking about gemi. So he said it doesn't matter if it's godol, if it's katan, it doesn't matter whether it's godul or whether it's arug, they're all kosher for schach, right? But there, he doesn't hold that they're shayach because of that to be mekabel tuma. But Reish Lakish is saying that chotzalot are mats, in which case, that means that what he's saying in Idyas is that it is Shaykh Tatuma. So then we end up with a stira. Does Rav Dosa hold it is Shaykh Latuma or not? Ah, there's another issue we haven't discussed, which is a sixth question. And that question is, does it have a slight rim on it? If it has a slight rim on it, so then it's used for drying out dates or things like that. In which case, it's a regular kli, and it's not pshute kli eitz because it has the rim. This has the gadafna. So then we get into a completely different issue. Forget about whether it's royal midras. Is it basically a large tray, which is used for agricultural purposes? So therefore, that what we're saying over here, this where that it's definitely going to be makabel tuma. That's the isle gadafna. That's in the Mishnah. But the Bright is talking about the letle gadafna. So because of that, it's not a normal kli, and therefore, what is it? It must be that it is for the sichuch. Meitve, ask the Gemara again on Reish Lakish, who claims that chotzalot are normal mat machatzalot. Meitve. The Braita says chotzalot shel sha'am, v'shel gemi, v'shel sak, v'shel sephira, all of these things. So we're talking about these various types of material that we've had. Shifa, we said before, you know, it's a type of plant that is similar to the gemi, or sak, we know means the hair of goats. Sephira means the hair from the horse's mane or from the tail. All of these things, if I turn them in a chotzelet, they're shayach to becoming tame as a kli for tumas mace. So as long as they're kalim, so they're going to be makabel tumas mace and not midras, because you don't lie on kalim. Divi Rabbi Doisa, whereas the Chachomim say, no, they're also going to be shayach for tumas midras. So Rav Avdimi, who said before that the meaning of these chotzalot are not machatzalot, but they're rather these marzuvle, which we said were we ended up saying were these little bags for the ro'im. Okay, so then it makes sense because they're a usable kelim. Shel sham v'shel gemi. That's good for kinta de peri. That's good enough. I mean, it's true that you can't make it into mamish, a weave, because, I mean, it's such thick material, there's going to be holes in it. What are you going to put in there? You can't put in cereal. You can't put in flour or anything like that. But you could put in apples and oranges, right? So, okay, so that's understandable. Those that are made out of sack and that are made out of sephira, those can even be made into normal sacks because you can make that very tight material. So that's good for gulki and sane. That's good to make it into like the equivalent of what they use for plastic bags in those days. But those are all kinds of things that are real kalim. But if you're going to learn like Rish Lakish, who claims that we're talking about machatzalot, what exactly are they usable for? I understand if they're made out of sack or sephira. So yes, that is something that can be woven tightly. So that could be used, let's say, for parsi. They could be used as a something to put over a doorway, a curtain of some kind. Or you could make a sifter with them for flour. But sham, the gemi, I mean, those are basically sort of like rope weaves, right? And rope weaves, like what can you put into a rope weave? What are you going to use them for? They are chazul and nazyata. They're good for covers, so you can use them over vats. So for beer, we've got these big open vats. You can use these things to cover the vat, and because of that, that gives them a din of a kli. Now, Tosfos Tainis, that cannot mean it's not true what Rashi is saying. That's how Rashi understands it, because as Tosfos points out, it says beferish that sham and gemi are kli'eitz. And kli'eitz, the halacha over there is that it's only if you make it as a container of some kind, if you make it as a cover, it's not going to be makabel tumah. So then how can Rashi learn that it's talking about vat covers? So therefore, Tosfos says, I don't know exactly what it is, but it can't just be a vat cover. It must be something that they did in the beer-making process where they use these things to hold the hops or whatever. But it doesn't make sense to call it a cover. These are all really issues that we have discussed at great length when we were learning Kalim. So it's like a nice chazara to have the issues up here again. Anyway, this whole discussion, there's another version, okay? Ikedi Amri, that Bishlam Alaman Yomar Machzalot Mamash, according to Resh Lakish, who says that Rabbi Doisa is talking about mats. So then I understand. Sha'am and Gemi, if they're mats, they're chazal l'naziyata for the beer. Whatever, Rashi's approach to Tosfos is. And shall sak for shall sphira are chazula for us even apvasa. Those things I can make as a curtain, or I can make them as a sifter for flour. Fine. So therefore, they're considered to be kalim, and Rabbi Dosholz are going to be makabel tumas mace. But according to the Mandi Omar, Rav Avimi claimed that they were marzuvli. So I understand that if they're made out of goat hair, or they're made out of the horse hair, the sphira. So then they're usable because then you can make a tight knit out of them. And because of that, you can make like, backpacks or whatever. Ela shel sham v'shel gemi. I mean, those things you can't make. I mean, it's like extremely open. What are you going to put in there? Lamai chazu. And in this version, we didn't take for granted the kinta de peri. And instead, we answered the kinta de peri. So they're usable for keeping your apples and oranges in large sacks. Anyway, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Hananya. So Rabbi Hananya said that when I went down to the Gola, remember there was a mice we had in Brochus that he went down to the Gola to deal with the halachas and going ahead to actually be ma'aber the shana So he wanted to make sure that it was done properly by the God of Eretz Yisrael. So I found a Zaken Echad, and he told me, Misachachim bebudya. We cover our sukkahs with these mats. Budyas are mats, and they're made for schach, apparently. And when I came to Rabbi Yoshua, who was my uncle, he said, that's true. Rav Chista, but that's only if let legadanfa, as we said before. It's only if it does not have a rim on it. Omar Ula, that these kinds of budyas, which are mats that are used by people who live in Mechuza, I want you to know that if it weren't for the little rim that it has, he's calling it a kir, which is basically the same idea. So if it wasn't for this little rim that they had, you could have been mesachich with that. And Tanya Namiyachi, Mesachachim Babudya, V'im Yesh Lakir, Ein Mesachachim Behem. Now this would be true that you cannot be Mesachach Behem even if you took off the rim. Because remember, we have that Gezerah about Shivre Kalim and so on. So you can't use that kind of mat if it originally had a purpose of putting dates in it to dry or whatever. That's what they make it with the big rims. And over there, Ein Mesachachim Behem, which brings us to a very important moment of our disappearing Malach over there. Oh, Sir Richard, Hadron Aloch, Sukkah. Excellent. So we begin the second parak of Masechet Sukkah. If you're going to sleep under the bed in a sukkah, you are not going to be yotze your chiyuv. Now, this is going to end up being a big discussion. What exactly do we mean? Oh boy, Ari is really fighting you, Barnea, today. If you look at the chat. Anyway, why exactly this would be possible, we'll have to we'll wait until tomorrow so we can have some time for our Benny moments. But in any event, the Pashta says if you're underneath the bed, so then you're not in the sukkah. Then there'll be a question, okay, how high is the bed? I mean, is it because of the tam of sukkah tachas ha-sukkah? Is it because of the question of being in an oihal and not being under the sukkah? That we'll have to see. Omer Rav Yehuda, no agina yinu shayinu yeshenim tachat hamita b'fnei hazekenim. V'lo amru lanu davar. I can tell you that when we used to visit the Talmid Chachamim on Yontif, we would go to sleep under the bed. Nobody said a word. Omer Rav Shimon, there was once a maisa with Tavi, who was the eved of Rav Gamliel, and he was sleeping under a bed in the sukkah. So Rav Gamliel was joking around to the other Zakenim that were around the table. No, you see my Eved. Tavi Avdi is a big Talmud Chacham. So he knows that Avodim are Pturim in HaSukkah. Because of that, he went to sleep under the bed. Because he's not Chayev in the Sukkah. So what do we see from there? Lefi Darchenu, and along the way, this is Rabbi Shimon, again, whose Shita is that Godol Shimusho Yotzer Mitalmudai. So it says, you see, according to our derech, that's something Achronim learned. According to our derech, where you can learn just from a joking comment that a Talmud Chacham makes, you see the way that he deals with things, we see from here that someone who is Yoshen Tachat Hamita is not Yotze Yedei Chovato.